Okay, for those of you listening on the radio, thank you for being here, by the way, WTPR. We're in Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 1, which has a bunch of quotes from a whole mess of different books. I just noticed all the quotes. And Chapter 1, which is on its importance of Mind, Character, and Personality. So I'll start off. I guess I'll do, I'll do two. Let's do two at a time, I guess, right? Unless they're really, really long. Because I got one here that's one sentence. So, all right. I guess I got a message on my cell. All right. Okay, the nicest work. To deal with minds is the nicest work in which men are engaged. Testimonies, Volume 3, page 269. And I got to tell you, that is something that I wrestle with and I have been wrestling with for years, especially with loved ones, because it's hard to figure out what someone's thinking. And I keep trying to say, at least just for the last few months, because I've been concentrating in certain areas, and when the Lord's revealed to me just a few months ago, like, well, I was in the study and I saw how Jesus responded to, who was it? It was either Thomas or it could have been Nathaniel. I think it was Nathaniel, you know, the apostle. Well, both of them, I guess, are apostles, but Jesus could have laid into him for something he was saying or doing, and instead he said it in such a way that made the apostle think. And then kind of like the way Nathan approached King David. I'm trying to refine that. I'm trying to get to a point where, you know, because otherwise it just flares arguments up. You know, you try to talk to some people and it'll generate arguments if you don't handle it the right way. You know, and I know it's hard to walk on kid gloves or on eggshells around some people all the time. It's just, you know, we're only human. But how do you do it? How do you, because that's a wonderful thing, like Sister White's saying here, to deal with minds is the nicest work in which men are engaged. Because you always have to be, that's like with the hate mail and stuff that I get, the hate emails, I won't even respond. Because I know it's that, you know, like I tried with Samuel Bacchiocchi, which I'm going to be putting on SDA Apostasy, by the way. I just, because I was able to check my emails, and I sent Bacchiocchi a question, because he sent me something, and it was like an advertisement trying to sell me some book, and I says, please don't send me emails about buying books from you. I'm not even on, how did I get on your email list? I mean, you know, somebody must have sent out a mass email. But anyway, this is, how do I deal with this? And all I did was kindly say, could you please respond to this picture? And I showed him the picture about him with the Jesuit robe on. And I cannot believe the way he responded. It's, and I did not do anything to, you know, all I did is I asked a question. Could you please explain this picture? That's all I said. And he laid into me big time. And I'm going to be putting it online because people trusted this man. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But even there, I'm having a hard time dealing with this man's mind. How do you, because I tried, as you'll see in the emails, I didn't say anything to instigate, and so sometimes it's really, really difficult with some people. I mean, case in point, look at Pharaoh and look at Moses. The same love that the Lord was sending to both affected both in different, completely different ways. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God. Yeah. All right, next one here is, to know the laws that govern mind and body. This is from Ministry of Healing, page 128, I guess the 1905 edition. I don't think you have to put this. Well, I don't know if there's differences in the dates. But anyway, it says, it is the duty of every person for his own sake and for the sake of humanity to inform himself in regard to the laws of life and conscientiously to obey them. All need to become acquainted with that most wonderful of all organisms, the human body. They should understand the functions of the various organs and the dependence of one upon another for the healthy action of all. They should study the influence of the mind upon the body and of the body upon the mind and the laws by which they are governed. And I'm so glad that we're in Ministry of Healing now on Sabbath study, because a lot of us are having a hard time in this area and some of the things we eat. So anyway, whoever's next.
All right. We'll continue on here with Train and Discipline of the Mind from LS, which I don't know what most of these abbreviations stand for in Ellen White's writing, so I apologize. Page 275, 1915 edition. Volume is low, huh? Is that better? Okay. No matter who you are, the Lord has blessed you with intellectual faculties capable of vast improvement. Cultivate your talents with persevering earnestness. Train and discipline the mind by study, by observation, by reflection. You cannot meet the mind of God unless you put to use every power. The mental faculties will strengthen and develop if you will go to work in the fear of God and in humility with for earnest prayer. A resolute purpose will accomplish wonders. And the next one I've got here says, the potential of the disciplined mind. Self-discipline must be practiced. An ordinary mind, well-disciplined, will accomplish more and higher work than will the most highly educated mind and the greatest talents without self-control.
Okay, our next section is HS 209, 1886. To deal with mind, a paramount work. I presume you can hear me okay? The future of society is indexed by the youth of today. In them we see that the future teachers and lawmakers and judges, the leaders and the people, that determine the character and destiny of the nation. How important, then, the mission of those who are to form the habit and influence the lives of the rising generation. To deal with minds is the greatest work ever committed to men. The time of parents is too valuable to be spent in the gratification of appetite or the pursuit of wealth or fashion. God has placed in their hands the precious youth, not only to be fitted for a place of usefulness in this life, but to be prepared for the heavenly courts. And the next section is teachers. Usefulness depends upon a trained mind. The teacher's usefulness depends not so much upon the actual amount of his acquirements as under the standard at which he aims. The true teacher is not content with dull thoughts, an indolent mind, or a loose memory. He constantly seeks higher attainments and better methods. His life is one of continual growth. In the work of such a teacher, there is freshness, a quickening power that awakens and inspires his pupils. That's from Education, page 278, from 1903.
Okay, the next two sections are from CT, which I don't know what that stands for. Sorry. This one is, he will strive for the highest mental and moral excellence. To know oneself is a great knowledge.
Yeah, she's going to fall out. Just give her a minute. She's locked up there. So when she comes back, we'll just tell her to start over from scratch, because we didn't hear thing one. Poor girl. She so much likes to read. Yeah, there she is. Okay, yeah. Library, just go ahead and start over, because you just read the title more or less, and then you locked up. So just start all over. And CT is counsels to parents, I think, and teachers.
Counsels to teachers? Councils to teachers. Okay. Let's see. Where was I? I'm sorry, folks. I have to get the page back up and figure out where I'm at. Oh, okay. He will strive for the highest mental and moral excellence. To know oneself is a great knowledge. The teacher who rightly estimates himself will let God mold and discipline his mind, and he will acknowledge the source of his power. Self-knowledge leads to humility and to trust in God, but it does not take the place of efforts for self-improvement. He who realizes his own deficiencies will spare no pains to reach the highest possible standard of physical, mental, and moral excellence. No one should have a part in the training of a youth who is satisfied with a lower standard. Am I at the right place? Yeah, okay. Don't know what that stands for. SPTED 50. And then CT, counsels to teachers. All right, the next section, prepares for eternity. In all your work, you must do as the husbandman does in laboring for the fruits of the earth. Apparently, he throws away the seed, but buried in the soil, the seed germinates. The power of the living God gives its life and vitality. And there is seen first the blade, then the ear, after that, the full ear in the corn. Mark 4, verse 28. Study this wonderful process. Oh, there is so much to learn, so much to understand. If we improve our minds to the utmost of our ability, we shall...
It's happening to you again there, library girl. I don't know if you can hear us. You're about to fall out. And if you can hear us, what is that noise in the background? It sounds like a cat moaning or a car taking off in the distance over and over again. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, you know, it keeps doing that. Oh, is that a cat? Sounds like a cat, but over and over and over again like that. That's when you get rid of the cat. At least we have a cat. That's a female doing that. All right. I'll just finish it up for her because I think she only had the one sentence left. It says, if we improve our minds to the utmost of our ability, we shall, through the eternal ages, continue to study the ways and the works of God and to know more and more of him. Was anybody else going next? If not, I'll go.
I didn't mean to cut you off, Brother Nick. I was just trying to put my bubble up. I'm sorry.
No, you happened to put your bubble at the exact time I turned mine off. Talk about discernment, people. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry you're having such a hard time, sister, but welcome back. She's not back yet, but anyway. Okay, continuing with counsels to parents and teachers, page 20. Science of Christianity and the mind. There is a science of Christianity to be mastered, a science as much deeper, broader, higher than any human science as the heavens are higher than the earth. The mind is to be disciplined, educated, trained for men to do service for God in ways that are not in harmony with inborn inclination. Often the training and education of a lifetime must be discarded that one may become a learner in the school of Christ. The heart must be educated to become steadfast in God. Old and young are to form habits of thought that will enable them to resist temptation. Welcome back, LG. They must learn to look upward. The principles of the Word of God, principles that are as high as heaven and that compass eternity, are to be understood in their bearing on the daily life. Every act, every word, every thought is to be in accord with these principles. Continuing on, advancement only through conflict. No other science is equal to that which develops in the life of the student the character of God. No other science is equal to that which develops in the life of the student the character of God, okay? Those who become followers of Christ find that new motives of action are supplied, new thoughts arise, and new actions must result. Amen. But they can make advancement only through conflict, true enough. For there is an enemy who ever contends against them, presenting temptations to cause the soul to doubt and sin. So true. There are hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil that must be overcome. Appetite and passion must be brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is no end to the warfare this side of eternity. But while there are constant battles to fight, and praise the Lord that He fights our battles for Him as we allow Him to, there are also precious victories to gain. Amen. And the triumph over self, our worst enemy, self, and sin is of more value than the mind can estimate.
Amen. This is, like I was talking about earlier, and well, I like the way she says here that in the first one that you read, it says that the mind is to be disciplined, educated, trained, for men are to do service for God in ways that are not in harmony with inborn inclination. You know what that means, don't you? All the garbage you've been doing your whole life, your character that it was before you met Christ, you've got these habits, you've got these desires, you've got these inborn inclinations that you've always done and always used. And all it ever does is generate more anger and more hatred to the person you're trying to deal with. It's just like on TV, you watch two people argue. They're just yelling at each other. They're not hearing each other. They're just yelling to get louder to get above the other one. Neither one of them is practicing any self-control whatsoever. They're not allowing Christ any kind of control. And I think this is one of the most intense plateaus for a Christian. When you get to this point, it's because the devil really knows how to mess around with the human mind, and he'll use people around you for and against that, you know, for them, of course, to make them get even more wicked, or for you or against you to get you more wicked. But in any event, it's something that, because, you know, your first response, your first instinct or inborn inclination is to jump the gun, is to get back in their face. They're going to tell you off. Oh, no, they're not. You're going to tell them off. You know, that turning the other cheek thing doesn't even come to mind. And, yeah, fight or flight. It's just so strange the way this is pretty heavy duty stuff today. All right, I'll get the next two here. The duty of every Christian to develop mind. It is the duty of every Christian to acquire habits of order, thoroughness, and dispatch. There is no excuse for slow bungling at work of any character. When one is always at work and the work is never done, it is because mind and heart are not put into the labor. The one who is slow and who works at a disadvantage should realize that these are faults to be corrected. He needs to exercise his mind in planning how to use the time so as to secure the best results by tact and method, two areas that I lack in. By tact and method, some will accomplish as much in 5 hours as others do in 10. Some who are engaged in domestic labor are always at work, not because they have so much to do, but because they do not plan so as to save time. That's, you know, one of the nice things I learned early in life, my first, I think maybe my third or fourth job as a teenager, you know, I did all these factory jobs, and this one boss, he must have been a Christian, either or, he was an extremely wise man. He always gave me the garbage jobs, the crummiest, most time-consuming jobs in the factory. You know, I was a gopher, I guess, and I had to do all the jobs everybody else didn't want to do. And I one day I just stopped and I said, "Why do you give me these jobs, man? You know, since it's just insane." He goes, "Well, because you're lazy." I said, "Well, that makes sense. Give a job like this to a lazy guy." He says, "Yes, it makes sense because you're lazy. And you will find the quickest way to get the job done." And so he counted on my laziness to figure out a way to save time to get the job done, kind of a thing, you know? And that's how, well, I don't want to get into what I learned in regards to sweeping floors, but it's neither here nor there. So anyway, continuing, it says, by their slow dilatory I've never seen that word before. By their slow, dilatory ways, they make much work out of very little, but all who will may overcome these fussy, lingering habits. In their work, let them have a definite aim. Decide how long a time is required for a given task, and then bend every effort toward accomplishing the work in the given time. The exercise of the willpower will make the hands more deftly, move deftly. That kind of reminds me, too, of my sales days when the boss says, do an ABC pile, you know, and put everything in the A pile and then figure out, calculate your day. You've got 8 hours to work. Figure out how many hours it'll take you to do all the jobs on A and if you'll still have time throughout the day to get B and C done. But, yeah, that was very important in that kind of industry to calculate the hours of your day and how to use them wisely. You know, get as much work done in as little time as possible. And, of course, it saves them money.
Okay. Let's see here. Definitely. Willpower move definitely. Okay. So we got the next one says to train every power of mind and body. God has given to every human being a brain. He desires that it shall be used to his glory. We have none too much brain power or reasoning faculties. We are to educate and train every power of mind and body, the human mechanism that Christ has brought in order that we may put it to the best possible use. We are to do all we can to strengthen these powers, for God is pleased to have us become more and still more efficient collaborators with him. From sermon at St. Helens Sanatorium, January 23rd, 1904. The next one is, the cultivated mind measures the man. Never think that you have learned enough and that you may now relax your efforts. The cultivated mind is the measure of the man. Your education should continue during your lifetime. Every day you should be learning and putting to practical use the knowledge gained. The similarity between an uncultivated field and an untrained mind is striking. Children and youth already have in their minds and hearts corrupt seed, ready to spring up and bear its perverting harvest. And the greatest care and watchfulness are needed in cultivating and storing the mind with precious seeds of Bible truths. From R.H., November 9th, 1886.
Before whoever goes next. There's that word, let me see how he pronounces it.
Dilatory.
And it means intended to delay. So when she said, by their slow, dilatory ways, they make much work out of very little. Yeah, so they drag their feet, in other words. So just what I define. It's the new word for today, dilatory.
Our next section comes from Acquire Knowledge and Mental Culture. It's from Christ's Object Lessons 343 and 344. Upon the right improvement of our time depends our success in acquiring knowledge and mental culture. The cultivation of the intellect needs not be perverted by poverty, humble origin, or unfavorable surroundings. A resolute purpose, persistent industry, and careful economy of time will enable men to acquire knowledge and mental discipline, which will qualify them for almost any position of influence and usefulness. Wow, that's amazing. The next section is Ministry of Healing, page 244. Understanding minds of great value in dealing with the sick. Great wisdom is needed in dealing with disease caused through the mind. A sore, sick heart, a discouraged mind, needs mild treatment. Sympathy and tact will often prove a greater benefit to the sick than will the most skillful treatment given in a cold, indifferent way. And I'll pass.
So true. Continuing on with Christ's Object Lessons, page 334, understanding minds and human nature aids in work of salvation. Be determined to become as useful and efficient as God calls you to be. Be thorough and faithful in whatever you undertake. Procure every advantage within your reach for strengthening the intellect. Let the study of books be combined with useful manual labor, and by faithful endeavor, watchfulness, and prayer, secure the wisdom that is from above. This will give you an all-round education. Thus, you may rise in character and gain an influence over other minds, enabling you to lead them in the path of uprightness and holiness. Amen. Mechanics, lawyers, merchants, men of all trades and professions, educate themselves that they may become masters of their business. Should the followers of Christ be less intelligent, and while professedly engaged in his service be ignorant of the ways and means to be employed? Of course not. The enterprise of gaining everlasting life is above every earthly consideration. In order to lead souls to Jesus, there must be a knowledge of human nature and a study of the human mind. Much careful thought and fervent prayer are required to know how to approach men and women upon the great subject of truth. Hey, Jerry.
You're supposed to read two.
I'm sorry. I guess that was so long. I was thinking I had done two. Sorry about that. Continuing on, cultivated powers increase demand for our services, taken also from Christ Object Lessons. Through lack of determination to take themselves in hand and reform, persons can become stereotyped in a wrong course of action, or by cultivating their powers, they may acquire ability to do the very best of service. Then they will find themselves in demand anywhere and everywhere. They will be appreciated for all that they are worth.
And is it my turn? There's only one left? Okay. Well, it's getting kind of late anyway. I guess this took a little longer than normal, or we started late. Let's see, this is from Review and, oh no, it's, what's HC stand for? I'm sorry. Well, it's actually Review and Herald, June 20th, 1882. It's also in the book High Calling, page 218, says, we may attain almost the excellence of angels. Woohoo. It says, the Lord has given man capacity for continual improvement and has granted him all possible aid in the work. Through the provisions of divine grace, we may attain almost to the excellence of the angels. Now, that's something to strive for. That would be such a blessing, not only unto self, but those that you come into contact with. Oh, if we could just, you know, put self to the side, you know, and concentrate on those around us. But still, even then, some will look at our responses towards those around us as selfish on our end, when in fact it's not. You know, we're concerned for their safety, and we, you know, tell them, and it upsets them. But that's just the way it goes, you know, that's the way the scripture says, you know. You know, some will respond to truth. But it's partially our fault, too, because our mind isn't disciplined enough to be able to approach in such a peaceful and loving Christ-like way. And so instead of doing what we want, you know, to get them to change, to get them to walk closer to Christ, we cause them to walk further away from him because of our diamond-in-the-rough methods, you know, our unhoned or our crunchy ways. Our very un-Christ-like manner. Yeah. Our lack of self-control. Yeah. And then true, yeah, some won't even believe, even if, you know, someone was raised to the dead right in front of them. I mean, that's what Lazarus had to, the rich man and Lazarus situation. Because if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, even if someone was raised from the dead, they won't believe it. I mean, look, and then, of course, you can... Yeah, of course, the parable, but then the Jews also saw an actual man by the name of Lazarus raised from the dead, and it didn't affect them. It didn't affect them, you know, most of them anyway. So, anyway, are we going to call it a night? Because I have got to get out of this room. It's getting extremely warm down here.